Hi everyone. Today's Bible reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 to 14. Just give you a second to open that up in your Bibles. It's on page 1808 if you've got one of the hard copies. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, who I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thank you, Jenny. Good morning, everyone. My name is Hendre. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I'm the Associate Pastor here at Trinity Church Lockleys, and we really are so great to have each one of you here with us this morning. Now, we've already heard quite a bit this morning that has to do with our passage today, but I still think it's true that for many of us, when we think about the big gospel-going-out moments in history, we tend to picture the crowds at Pentecost, Paul preaching across the Roman world and writing letters, and Billy Graham filling stadiums after stadiums. But some of the most significant gospel work didn't happen in front of big crowds. It happened in a home, without any platform, without any witnesses, just a mother and her child. And that's exactly what we see in 2 Timothy 1. Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, and right up the front, he honors this sincere faith which has been passed down to him by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. It's a legacy that didn't begin on a stage, but in the ordinary, faithful work of everyday life. And this is so significant because it didn't just happen in Timothy's home, but it's something that has happened in thousands and thousands of homes and continues to happen as the gospel is passed from one generation to the next. So today, whether you're a mum or not, this passage invites all of us to reflect on the faith we've received and the legacy that we are leaving. We will see in verses 1 to 5 the faith passed on, verses 6 to 10, the faith fanned into flame, and 11 to 14, the faith held firm. But before we do, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many people that have played a part in passing on the faith throughout the generations, and particularly to us. As we look at that this morning, we pray that we'd be encouraged and challenged to play a part alongside them. And please help us to sit under your word earnestly and honestly this morning. Amen. So at the start of 2 Timothy, we see that his faith didn't appear out of nowhere. It was passed on, nurtured, lived out in front of him. And God used two women, his mum and his grandma, to shape his heart, to sow gospel seeds and truth, and to build a legacy that would ripple out far beyond their lifetime. In verse 5, we see, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. Now, in many ways, this is a strikingly simple moment in the Bible. But it is deeply significant. Paul sees something precious in Timothy. He sees his sincere faith, and he honors the people God used to pass it on. Now, we're not told exactly how this happened, but doubtless it was the slow, ordinary, faithful work of nurturing, of sharing scriptures, of praying with him, of speaking about God in everyday life, showing what trust in the Lord looks like when things are hard. The kind of nurturing that doesn't just happen in the big moments and the big conversations, but in countless little moments. Helping the child understand who God is, gently correcting and comforting them, answering questions, and just living with integrity in front of them. And what's particularly striking here is that in Timothy's life, Paul sees these ordinary moments as foundational to Timothy's life and ministry. It's not just a background detail, it's part of the gospel story. God working through everyday faithfulness to grow deep, living trust. I think so often we assume God builds his church through preachers, through missionaries, through public leaders. And yes, he absolutely does do that. But here, and in fact this morning during the all-age talk, we see that actually it's time and time again, it's the ordinary, incidental at times, even conversations that God uses. And that's not second-tier work. It is kingdom work. It is the work of the legacy of the gospel. I imagine many of us who didn't get an opportunity this morning can look back and think of someone who played a part in our own story. Someone who didn't just tell us about God with their words, but who showed us what it looked like to follow him and to trust in him. It might have been your mum or your grandmother, or it might have been someone else, a Sunday school teacher, a youth group leader, a spiritual mentor, a friend, someone whose words mattered absolutely, but whose life made the real difference. And chances are that the impact didn't come in one singular big moment, but it was built over time, through patience, through faithfulness, through praying when no one else saw. And that's the kind of legacy Paul is talking about here. Not a glamorous one, not Instagram worthy per se, but deeply formative. And what makes all of this even more striking is that it didn't happen for Timothy in what we might expect to be the perfect conditions. If we go back to Acts chapter 16, verse 1, we learn that Timothy's mother was a Jewish believer, as you'll see up on the screen, but his father was Greek. And most scholars agree that his father would not have been a follower of Jesus. Timothy grew up in a spiritually mixed household, no ideal nuclear family for nurturing the faith, different convictions between parents, possibly tension as a result of it, and yet even in those less than ideal circumstances, sincere faith grew. Why? Because God worked through those faithful, persistent, everyday moments, day in and day out, as Lois and Eunice nurtured young Timothy. And I think that's a huge encouragement to those amongst us who are raising kids. In a situation in your household or in the world that feels messy, that at times feels incomplete, our God is not limited by our family structures, but he's capable of working through ordinary, sincere, little moments, whatever our home situation might be. God used Timothy's grandmother and mother to shape his life. And it might be easy to overlook their role, just a mere one-line brief mention. But in fact, Paul still honors them. And in doing so, reminds us how God often works through these quiet, ordinary moments. But we all know that this is not just parents, right? Whether we're parents or not, if you have received sincere faith, you now have something to pass on. And there is someone who needs it. So having looked back in the first five verses at the faith Timothy has received, Paul then turns and looks forward. The faith he received might have been passed down through his mother and his grandmother, but it wasn't something to simply admire or to preserve. It was something, Paul says, Timothy needs to fan into flame. We see this in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." He's saying, Timothy, you've received something real. Now don't let this sit idle. Stir it up. Feed it. Make it burn even brighter. And then in verse 7, he reminds him exactly how he can do that. "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Faith isn't meant to be static. It's not merely a family heirloom we keep on the shelf. It's not something we just admire from a distance or hold on to for sentiment's sake. But it is a living gift from God that needs to be stirred, strengthened, and personally embraced. But there's comfort in it too, in Paul's encouragement that we're not in this alone, but that the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love. I think we clearly see in Paul's words that Timothy has a role to play. He has to fan into flame the gift of God. It is a call to action, to tend the fire, to not grow passive or complacent. And this is something we see throughout Scripture. We see in Philippians, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." To Peter, "Make every effort to add to your faith." 1 Timothy, "Train yourself to be godly." We are absolutely called to be faithful, to pray, to lead, to obey, to persevere, to teach the gospel to our kids, to encourage young believers, to press on in love and truth and holiness. But there is a tension at play here. You can model faith. You can teach the Bible. You can say all the right things, pray earnestly. But try as you might, you cannot ignite faith in someone else's heart, or even for yourselves. We can read Scripture, we can serve in ministry, we can surround ourselves with the truth, yet we can still feel dry, because real, living faith is always a gift from God. It comes from God, and it grows only ultimately by his Spirit, which he gives. And that's what Paul reminds Timothy of here, that the Spirit God gave us, past tense, it is already yours. And so that Spirit doesn't lead us into fear or self-reliance or performance anxiety, but gives us the power to keep going, to keep loving and serving, and the self-discipline to stay the course. So yes, we have to work hard and fan the flame. We have to keep praying for our kids. But we can also rest in the comfort that God is the ultimate agent of that work, even when we might be unfaithful. After calling Timothy to fan this faith into flame, Paul widens his lens once more, because real faith doesn't just burn privately, but it holds firm publicly, especially when it is tested. Faith that is sincere must also be steady. The gospel isn't just something we receive, but it is something that has been entrusted to us. And so Paul calls Timothy to not only live it out, but to guard it, to keep it clear, to hold it out without shame. In verse 11, we see him saying, "And if this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher." He continues in verse 12, "That's why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I am entrusted to him until that day." Paul is suffering here, but he isn't wavering. He's confident, not in himself, but in the God who holds him fast. As you see in verse 13, "What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." The pattern is clear. Paul has entrusted the gospel to Timothy. Now Timothy must hold on to it, not reshape it, not tweak it to fit his life, not hide it, not compromise it, but guard it, not in his own strength, but by the help of the Spirit. This is a critical shift in this passage, as Paul moves from not just talking about Timothy's personal faith anymore, but talking about the gospel itself, the message of Jesus, the good news that God saved sinners through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It is this gospel that I've given my life to. That's what I suffer for, says Paul. I'm not ashamed. And Paul encourages Timothy to guard it not like a museum relic, unused and hidden away, but to guard it while living in trust, carrying what was entrusted to him forward. There is such a thing as healthy and right doctrine, as proper understanding of, as true and false teaching. It is not man-made, but it has been Spirit-inspired, handed down from apostle to apostle, generation to generation, to us. And we are told to keep it. But it's also not just about theological accuracy, but about spiritual faithfulness. Timothy is holding something sacred, but thankfully he has not been left do it alone. I still remember, and a lot of the guys in this room might too, the moment when you finally go and purchase that ring. The care with which you pop it in your pocket or suitcase with a lock on it, or I don't know what you did, but you walk and you feel on edge, you're sussing everyone out, everyone's suddenly a criminal who's coming to get you. You're so protective of this thing. Taking out with care every time you glance at it, locking it away somewhere safe, not wanting anything to happen to it. And when I finally gave it to Jess, she did much the same. She didn't lock it away, but she treated it with such care. Didn't want it to get dirty. She was careful not to chip it, not to knock it. And it wasn't just about the financial value of the item, but it meant something. It carried weight. But fast forward 6 years, 2 babies, and a lot of dirty nappies later, sadly, that same care for the gift I gave her is no longer there. Life gets busy. Familiarity settles in. And what once felt so precious has just become normal. Maybe even taken for granted. And that's the danger in part that Paul is pointing to. Not that we'd suddenly deny the gospel, but that we'd stop treating it as precious, that we'd get comfortable with it, assume it, let it drift from center stage. And so Paul says, don't let that happen. The gospel is a treasure entrusted to you. Guard it, but don't lock it away. Hold it with care. Keep its shape. Pass it on. It's not worn down or watered down, but in its full truth and glory. And that is the invitation and the warning for us in these verses. The gospel, this message of God's grace through Jesus, the truth that saves each one of us, has been entrusted to us. It's not ours to change, to forget, or to neglect. It's ours to guard, to hold on to, and to pass on. Don't let that grip loosen as the years pass. Don't stop feeling the weight of it. Let's honor what we've been given, and let's hold it out clearly, carefully, and joyfully to those who need it. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, let me just first say that we're so glad to have you here with us. You've heard us talk a lot about this gospel, like it's something incredibly precious to us. And honestly, that's because it is. We honestly believe it is the best news in the world. That through Jesus, God offers forgiveness, new life, and hope. A hope that lasts forever. And it's not because we're good enough or work hard enough, but it's because He is. That is what has been entrusted to us. That's what we're trying to hold on to, and that's what we're trying to share, not just with the next generation, but also with you. You don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to have it all together. We don't. You just need to come to Jesus and trust in Him. And if that's something you're thinking about, or you've got questions, I'd love nothing more than to not honor my mother or the mother of my children this day, but to spend it with you answering those questions. I can honor them tomorrow. Let's pray. She's out of kids' church, it's okay.